MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. I'm chatting with Tasneem Samuddin from Old Mutual Private Wealth. Tasneem, appreciate the time. Estee Lauder was certainly one of the sort of post-pandemic darling stocks. We were all going out again. Their brands were doing incredibly well, but it's lost favor. It's been, since the highs of late December 2021, down over 80%. What's ailing the company?
Good morning, Simon, and thank you for having me. Yes, Estee Lauder, it's a sad story and really a cautionary tale for investors, particularly quality investors, because it's just been a series of unfortunate events. But COVID was really the catalyst. It just took the market a while to calibrate, but COVID was the catalyst because it exposed vulnerabilities in the Estee Lauder business. That stood out very clearly during COVID was the reliance on travel retail as a distribution channel. So, travel retail, stores in airports, sales made on flights, that accounted for nearly a quarter of Estee Lauder sales being into the COVID period. Mm-hmm. But, the market gave them the benefit of the doubt because we expected a recovery to happen. So we didn't see really a sell-off in Estee Lauder in 2021. But another point that stood out was just China. China was so large and so important for Estee Lauder. Going into 2021, China was about 36% of Estee Lauder sales. Mm-hmm. So just completely overexposed to the Chinese consumer. And so when we didn't have a recovery in travel retail and we didn't have a recovery in China, that severely impacted Estee Lauder's ability to capitalize on the growth of the beauty market that happened in the US and Europe and Japan. They missed the growth markets completely in that post-COVID period when fragrance, particularly in the Middle East, where Estee Lauder was underexposed. So it just exposed where the Estee Lauder business model was particularly weak. And then from that point on, it's just been on the management itself, it's just been a number of errors that they've also made in trying to recover the business, which we can also unpack a bit later.
I was going to follow up with that because, I appreciate they had a strategy. Travel, sure. No problem with that. China, no problem with that. But, in researching for this interview, I was doing some digging. There's lots of talk around, and there's been restructuring charges been going through, attempts at restructuring. You're suggesting that management hasn't managed that process well at all.
No, they haven't. So what they then tried to do in realizing that, China and travel retail was going to take a bit longer. So in 2021, when we were expecting this recovery in the Chinese consumer, that was the consensus call. China was going to recover. They were going to rebound strongly. Mm. Estee Lauder doubled up and they restocked China and their travel retail network. When that didn't happen in 2022, they then had to discount severely. That impacted the gross margins. And for a luxury brand, that is your worst nightmare. Mm. That is something you try very hard to avoid. So that was the first point that I'd say, that was management should not have overstocked as aggressively. Mm-hmm. They should have tried to diversify at that point already, which is what their peers were doing. Their peers were going out into the US, out into Europe, out into Japan and the Middle East to compensate for China. But Estee Lauder, they doubled up on the Chinese market. So that was the first, one that you could say that was a management action. Mm-hmm. And the second one was that in 2022, amidst all of this happening, they announced that acquisition of Tom Ford. And to do acquisition for Tom Ford and to do that acquisition, they took on debt. Mm-hmm. And they took on that debt at a time when global interest rates were increasing and at a time where the operational cash flow was suffering because of what was happening in the Chinese market. And in 2023, their credit rating then came under review. And that's when investors got spooked. Because now the credit rating providers are putting up a flag and saying, Estee Lauder is not the quality company that they were in the past. And that really catalyzed what happened next, which was management was changed.
Yeah.
So we had a slew of executive changes announced. We have a new CFO. We have a new incoming CEO. The chairman of the board retired. We have a new chairman now. So it started off with, things they couldn't control. But then what they could control, they took the wrong actions. And that's really resulted in the position that they're in now, where there's very little credibility in management. One, because the management team that got them in this position has now left, and we're looking to a new management team to kind of turn the ship around. But there's no credibility in the new management yet. It's a wait and see story. So that's where we sit with Estée Lauder today.
I take your point. I don't know much about the brands, but I recognize some of them. I mean, Estée Lauder itself, Clinique, MAC, Bobbi Brown, you mentioned Tom Ford, although that was perhaps a poor acquisition. But I take your point. This is a case of, this was a quality stock. 5 years ago, if we'd had the conversation, we would have talked around quality. They've damaged that moniker that they had. We now need them to kind of reprove while we sit in the sidelines and let the new management team sort of re-get that quality label back.
Absolutely. So the problem is not with the brands. As you mentioned, Clinique, Estée Lauder itself, you know, The Ordinary, MAC in makeup, those are still good brands.
Yeah.
Those are still brands that's respected by consumers. So the issue was really with management actions. It was them not being in the correct stores, in the correct distribution channels for consumers to actually purchase them. They didn't have a strong e-commerce position during the COVID period. So L'Oreal really capitalized because they had a strong e-commerce network. Estée Lauder then very late to the party, you know, started doing collaborations with Amazon in order to get some e-commerce presence. Those are the kinds of things you can say that's a management team problem.
Yeah.
So it's not brands, and they've fallen out of what we would consider quality. Unfortunately, it is a wait and see, but it is really the credibility of the management team that will result in a re-rating of the valuation. Because I think the valuation will remain depressed for as long as the management team lacks that credibility. They have now a new strategy, this beauty reimagined. But really, we're going to have to see results before we are able to build an investment case around, you know, the Estée Lauder story going forward.
Yeah, they've tarnished it. They need to. The new management needs to fix it. We leave it there. It's Tasmin Samadeen, Old Mutual Private Wealth. Appreciate the time.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlip Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.